Hello, and welcome to Cannock Chase Collections, the podcast where guests get to share their local history stories and knowledge of local objects, places, and events. These collections are packed with treasures from our past, from coal mining and early industries to military memories, photography, social history, and even objects that remind us how being a part of community life contributes to health and well-being. I'm Rachel New, and in this episode, we discover what it is to be a miner in coal, community, and camaraderie, stories from the Lee Hall Colliery. Let's start our journey and get a few important details from Malcolm Watkiss, an ex-deputy at Lee Hall Colliery.
It opened in 1962 officially, and it closed in 1992 properly. It employed 2,500 men there at one time. You obviously didn't know everybody, but the areas you worked in, you got to know everybody there. Very good camaraderie, made a lot of friends there, and the work was hard, but you enjoyed it. I started in 1970 as an apprentice. I was here at the Valley training. And then I went down the mine as a haulage man who was taking supplies in. You would only get about three or four young lads working with an older man that was in charge here. And then eventually I was asked if I wanted to go on the coal face, which I did. So in the early 80s, I was trained up to be a deputy.
And how old were you when you started in 1970?
I was 16, 15, 16. And I went down with all my mates did. They all went down the mines, you know.
And so a lot of the lads that you were working with, would they have been lads you'd gone to school with and lads you already
yes,
knew?
Yes, yeah. I knew them all, yes. Mm. And we're still friends today as well, a lot of them.
And what was the day-to-day life if you were down in the mine? What time did you go down and how long were you down there for?
We went down the pit at 7. You travelled some considerable distance. We travelled on a train for 6 miles.
Underground?
Yes, on a large train. And then when you got to the top of the hill, you walked down 2,200 metres. Then you deploy the men, and then they'd all spider break off and go to their coal faces or tunnels or whatever jobs they had to do. And you always had your regular team. And when I was a face deputy, I had 44 men. And they were all fantastic, great blokes, yeah.
There was no popping out for a quick break or anything?
Oh, nothing like that. Nothing like that, no.
So you take your lunch down with you, you take everything
you have 15 minutes. And I used to walk around with a bottle and my sandwich, eat it on the march. The men didn't take long. They didn't hang up because money, you know, time's money, isn't it? You know, so quick sandwich and back on there, yeah. You worked hard, played hard, and you went out with the blokes you worked with, you know. And the social clubs around here and all were all geared. There was one on the Springfields, one at Towns Acre, and obviously Lee Hall Club and Pairtree Club, and they were all the miners went in there, you know, the miners' welfare clubs. And they were very popular at the time, yeah.
Talk to me about the clubs then. So what sort of things, I suppose all of life was there, was it?
It was on a Saturday night, yeah. But you knew if you wasn't in for 8 o'clock, you wouldn't get in, you know, and that's how it was with all the miners and stuff like that. They even had a Polish club in Rousley for all the Polish miners that were here.
Did wives and, you know, family go, or was it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And then with the clubs and the pit as well, they'd have day out into the seaside and things like that. There was a lot of sporting events and communities, football matches, all that. So all the football teams, all miners, you know, yeah. Boxing teams.
So real community spirit.
It was fantastic, yeah.
Help me to understand a little bit more about what it's like to be down the pit or in a colliery generally. I mean, how big an area did it cover?
It was huge. I'd say we travelled 6 miles in by train.
What's the space like? Is it very small? Is it very dark?
It can be as big as a cathedral, some of it, you know, when you get down there. But, obviously, the further you go in, the darker it is. You do get places where it's 3 foot high. You know, the yard coal, that was one. All the coal faces were 3 foot. You get the deep where it was, again, it was shallow and it was very wet. But, I mean, the thing for me is going down as a 15-year-old as well about the pit is you went down the shaft and it was 1,350 foot deep. And they don't lower you down, they just take the brake off and go. So you've got all that weight, you drop at 33 foot a second.
Oh my gosh.
And occasionally you'll have something like the rope will loop over or the brake will come on automatically by mistake. And so you're travelling in a huge yo-yo.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so how many of you are in that? Is it like a cage?
There's 25 on each deck on the normal cages. And going down the pit, it was quite tight and that, you know, going down. But coming up, they're trying to get about 30, 40. So you want to get up the pit, didn't you? You know, you want to get up
there. Yeah. If the brake went on or if it stopped suddenly, I mean, are you all bracing yourself? Are you all holding on to something?
You're holding on to a pole at the side. Right, you know, okay. A few swear words going on as well.
It's like a free Alton Towers ride.
Yeah, I mean, it can happen going up as well. So you're travelling up quite fast.
Yeah.
And then the brake comes on and you continue to travel up and you can hear the rope coiling on top of the cage. And you know what's happening next, you're going to shut down again, you know, for another 100 foot or so till you stop.
And let's talk about the danger, because it was a very dangerous place to work.
It was, yes, very dangerous, yeah. As a young lad at 16, I saw a man have his leg off, where a rope hit him and took it off, a man called Harry Baker. The lads that was all around him were all young lads, 16, 17, and we carried him out onto the surface, and he was actually joking with us on the way out.
That's a huge responsibility. So I suppose when you're underground, you're your own little community, you're all responsible for everything that happens there. And so were you first aid trained? Were you prepared for that sort of thing?
Everybody was first aid trained and firefighting.
How often did you have to stretcher people out?
It was a common occurrence, really, you know.
Nowadays, you'd probably acknowledge that, you know, someone like you might have had post-traumatic stress disorder after that. Do you think any of it was traumatising for you in a lasting way, or do you think you kind of laughed it off and blocked it out?
They give you a cigarette, didn't they? I've never suffered PTSD, and I have seen some bad things. You just get on with it, you know. And people would go and you just carry on working, you know. It's that sort of thing.
Did anyone else in your family go down the pit?
My granddad was a shaftsman here. My great-granddad used to drive the paddy train from the bottom of the road down there up to the different pits, and these the staff on up and there. My dad was a deputy, then he was an overman, my brother was a shaftsman.
So all of you?
My uncle was the powder mag man. He had his arm ripped off in the 60s in the pit.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so he worked in the powder mag. Yeah.
Wow. You're quite lucky to have come out as unscathed. I know you aren't completely unscathed. No. You had your share of accidents.
Yeah, I wore a few plaster casts in my time. Yeah.
The rich local history surrounding mining in this area is something ex-miners are keen to keep alive through societies and groups.
Well, we've got a society at Lee Hall, Lee Hall and Breeden Collieries Memorial Society, and that was started back in 2012. There was four lads in the pub, and he was having a chat, and he was talking about the pit, and a 19-year-old lad said to him, "What pit?"
Wow.
Yeah. In a town where the pit was huge. And so they talked about it. We had a big meeting and put the society together. We had a project where we put four huge miners on an island at Rugeley, and we thought that was it. And we've gone on to do other things, like we've got a memorial wall with people's names on the wall who worked at the pit, and you know, many still alive. We've just put a pit wheel up as well at the front of that wall.
Let's head over to discover more about that wall and meet some of Malcolm's fellow miners, Rob Sullivan, Lee Magin and Steph Bueller.
So we're out the front of the Lee Hall Miners Club now, and this is the wall. Tell me about the wall.
There's 900 names on it. People had to buy a brick, £30 each, to build all this wall here. It was very expensive to create, you know, but all the donations locally, and these are all actually all miners that are still here. There's a lot of them passed as well.
And have you got a brick?
Yes, he's my brick here. That's my brother. That's my dad, who worked at Breeden.
And there's you.
And that's mine. Yeah.
It's quite impressive, isn't it?
And you've got, yeah, not just miners, you've got Leo Toy, besides, you probably worked in the office. You've got all the canteen staff that work there.
Do you know, when we have occasions out here now and again, me and the lads, we all do, we look on, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone. At least 50%, I'd say, off the wall here now.
But it's a wonderful memorial, because, I mean, if there's one thing we're all certain of, one day we'll all be gone, right?
Oh, yes.
And this will still be here?
Yeah, well, what we're trying to do is we want it down in writing that this land will never be taken over.
That's Steph, who, along with Rob and Lee, says they have to be really hands-on when it comes to keeping the club and the society going.
Yeah, there's all sorts. Any painting needing doing, we do it. Toilets, tiling in the toilets, doors, hinges coming off and everything like that. Or, you know what I mean, just general maintenance.
In the summer, it's all hedge trimming and grass cutting and maintenance of that. And general upkeep of the club, the running of the club.
We've got lots of painting to do in the next couple of months, haven't we? The games room here, badly doing.
And there's a bit of banter going on as well all the time, as if we were down the pit. You know, we're doing little bits and pieces. We have a laugh and a joke together and everything.
Yeah. And what about your families? Do they get involved down here?
Not as much as we'd like to, really. Hopefully it will carry on for the next generation. But we're getting sparse, very sparse. Give it another, 10, 15 years, there's only going to be a handful of ex-miners left.
Yeah. We have a social evening every year up at the Victoria Workingmen's Club at Ellensford, and it's a cracking day out. All the lads from all the different pits, from Cannock Wood, Cannock Fives, Littleton, Leol, and we have a great day.
Darts, dominoes, pool.
But that is drastically reducing from what it used to be. There probably used to be close on 200 of us going there. Now it's probably massively dropped down to about 8. Yeah,
we have a service at the wall every year, a Father's Day service, and we read out the names of the people who were lost, and you're talking maybe a dozen to 18 people every year that we've lost.
We do the funerals now. We take the banners with us, which we've just had a new banner
up to the creme,
which we've raised the funds for, and that was £12,000. And we raise that money all by ourselves, no help from nobody. And we stand outside and...
We bid our last farewell, don't we?
Yeah.
Because
some
of the lads who have been very close to us, them that's passed, you know, so it's really emotional when you take the banners.
I'm just impressed because the pit's been closed for over 30 years now.
34 years, is it?
There's a lot of longevity here, you know, you're working hard to keep this together. I'm interested to know what you get from having this club, having this group staying together. How does it impact you?
It's always been a close camaraderie. When you're a miner, it's the bondship, the friendship.
Once a miner, always a miner.
Yeah.
I've been using this club since I was 16. Used to box for them, football for them. Most of sports, you know, been entertainment secretary on the club committee.
And now he's 84.
Probably feel like it, don't you?
Yeah. And when I first come in, it was full of miners. Full of miners. You couldn't move in here. They used to queue up to get in the club. But now the pit's closed and all that, there's not many miners use it, and there's a lot passed. And it's usually associate members that keep the club going now, you know.
I couldn't ask about the history of mining in Cannock without discussing the strikes and the division that they caused. But sometimes friendship at Lee Hall Colliery was greater than industrial action. Here's Malcolm, who couldn't strike because of the role he played.
We were in charge of the safety and the ventilation and the pumping of water and everything else. And Mrs. Thatcher said that if the deputies and NACOD struck, they would close the pits anyway, because there wouldn't be any pits because they'd just flood. I had to go through the picket lines every day.
How was that?
I knew most of the lads, and I lived with them. I was sympathetic and used to give food and stuff, you know, but you had to go through. There's some things I wouldn't do, and I'm friends with most, you know, a lot of these lads. There is a funny story, actually, that I used to give three striking lads a lift in my car dropping around the corner. And when I come through the gate, they was leaned towards the car, she'd call me a scab. And one had come right to the wind and call me scab. And he'd say, see you about 2:30.
Lift home.
Yeah. Yes.
When you worked down the pit, and it was only open for, I think, 30 years.
30 years. Yeah.
Did you ever think it was going to close so soon?
No.
I think they was led because our pit was a working pit during the strike, because they thought nothing had happened to it. Thought they'd had years in front of them, and people couldn't get over it. You know, they'd lost some lost their houses. You know, we all lost our jobs.
Marriages were broken up.
The marriages broke up. Yeah, yeah.
Everything just seemed to break up because you'd got workers and you'd got the strikers, and it just split everybody up, even families.
So obviously, it's really important for you to kind of keep this history alive amongst yourselves. But what about the next generation? How important do you think it is to
keep
these
kids?
Yeah, we have the school, the local school just down the road here. And they get in touch with us to do the like a talk show and presentation. I'd say there was about 40 children come from the class. We show them films of what it was like underground. We even dress in the mining equipment, the gear, and have all the equipment on with us.
And we talk to some of the kids and ask them who their parents was who worked in the pit. And it's the granddads now. We know the granddads.
We go out on the look on the wall outside.
Yeah. And one little one asked, how do you go to the toilet if there's no toilets down there?
Well, that's a very good question.
It was a bit embarrassing.
I mean, seriously, though, how did you go to the toilet?
Yeah, just
where you stood.
Yeah. What? Turn your light off.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Whatever you want to.
It is weird, but what can you do if you want to go to the toilet? You know, you ain't got a chance to walk 100 yards down the road or something, you know.
I would imagine, though, for kids, you know, school kids, but even people today in their 30s, they must be quite horrified at that, at the conditions, I suppose, you were working in.
The conditions, yeah. The sound of the machinery. That's your first thought when you went down underground and you went in and you seen it all and everybody would be going off into the tunnels. Now, you'd probably see 200 men going in on the train, all walking down the hill together. And they'd go off to their jobs on the faces, in the heads and in the roadways. And the sound, you'll never forget the sound of the machinery all kicking up the gear heads, the belts making the noises, the haulages. But that's what would frighten the kids of today.
You had men that used to go down with us and they'd do the face training. As soon as they went on the cold face and the machine started up.
No.
They'd go, they'd run off, they wouldn't
not,
do it.
Not for everybody.
No, not cold face training. No.
I just want to talk a little bit more about this place, because it's a fantastic club you've got down here. Great dance floor. Does that get much action from you guys?
Depends who we pick up.
If we have a drink, we get up.
And have you had any important events down here, big birthdays, family events?
We put our own shows on. We've just had a Neil Diamond tribute.
We've just had a 70th party.
For Malcolm.
We were calling a meeting about 10 days beforehand, wasn't it? We said, we'll call a meeting. Nobody else knew anything. Malk didn't know. We knew what was happening and everything like that. And we says, and all you get to Malcolm, what's this meeting about? I wonder, what's this? Shut up, Malk. We'll find out. When we have the meeting, we'll find out. We gathered in here and all his family were in the other room. He knew nothing about it. He opened the door and the family's there and there he is, tears in his eye.
Very emotional. It was, yeah, I didn't expect it at all. And,
Oh, you're welling up now, it's lovely.
They got me a great present and...
I can just tell by your response to that how important...
Well, we got the book out, Lee presented it to him, and says, Malcolm Watkins, this is your life.
Well, thank you very much for letting me into your special space. And telling me your stories. It's been a pleasure to meet you all.
When do we get paid?
This is for the love.
Oh.
That's the end of this episode of Cannock Chase Collections. A big thank you to the National Lottery Heritage Fund for making this series possible, to all our guests, and to you, of course, for listening. If you'd like to discover more, head over to the Heritage section of creativechase.co.uk to explore more stories from the Cannock Chase collections, from coal mining to social history, from industry to health and well-being. Until next time, keep well, keep curious, and keep celebrating the stories that make Cannock Chase such a special place.